It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another Off the Wall podcast. This is a special edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. A Championship Sunday wrap-up show, as we promised. And we actually got some phone calls. So you're going to hear from some Jet fans who don't really share the same exact feeling as this Jet season that I do. I mean, they're happy. They were fine with it. You know, they lose to the Colts in the AFC Championship, but it was a great season. It was a 9-7 team that they didn't really expect to be 9-7. They expect them to be a little worse than that. Didn't expect them to make the playoffs. Now, it wasn't these Jet fans that were pushing their chest out and thinking the Jets were going to the Super Bowl and thinking they had the best team in all of football and thought that, you know, in week 16, when Peyton Manning took a seat, you know, the fans who said, calling up these radio stations saying, hey, Jets still would have won. Got news for you. They probably wouldn't have. Absolutely not. And I got to tell you, if I'm a Jet fan and I'm not, I am happy with the season. Don't get me wrong. Let me preface this by that. But I am very unhappy with the way the play calling went in this game. And I've highlighted some of these play calls. They're up 14-6. Okay? 14-6. Under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Right after Sanchez hits Keller for the 9-yard touchdown. Joseph Addai gets drilled by Pace. Ball comes loose. Leonard recovers it. Jets have a first and 10 on the Colt 29-yard line. And here's Schottenheimer's play calls. Run to the right. Then a penalty. A run to the right. And a run up the middle. Brian, take a shot. Are you to sit here and tell me that you're going to think that that defense of yours, which is a good defense, is going to hold Peyton Manning to field goals all day? Are you nuts? This is a game. This is the AFC Championship game. You have to take your shots. I'm not saying you're going to score a touchdown every time you have the ball. But when you're given the ball on a great defensive play at the 29-yard line of the Colts, and you don't put the ball in the air once, up 14-6, that's more conservative than Pat Buchanan. Pat Robertson, whatever the hell that guy's name is. I don't know. Come on. Throw the ball. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Mark Sanchez was throwing some really good balls in this game. He was raising my eyebrows. So then what happens? The Jets kick a field goal. Feely hits it. 48 yards. It's 17-6. 2 minutes and 11 seconds left. Peyton Manning gets the ball back. Takes him 58 seconds to go 80 yards. Basically, it was three passes to Austin Colley, the same guy, down the field. 18 yards, 46 yards, 16 yards. Boom. And that 17-6 lead, that big 11-point cushion, is down to four. And at this point, I was watching the game with my father-in-law, who really is not into football, but he likes Peyton Manning, he likes Brett Favre. I turned to him and I said, The final score of this game is going to be 34-17. Wasn't too far off. 30-17 final. And when Manning leads them down the field in the third quarter and makes it 20-17, you just, if you're a Jet fan, you saw the writing on the wall. You did. I'm not saying Schottenheimer didn't throw the ball at other points during the game. After the Colts went up 20-17, he did. And it was one of those great passes by Sanchez that I was talking about. A BB, a bullet, threading the needle to Dustin Keller over the middle for 19 yards on a 2nd-and-17. Where was that, though, when you're up 14-6 and you have the ball at the 29-yard line of the Colts? You could say all you want, Jet fans, that you're happy with this season. And you know what? I can't tell you you're wrong. I cannot tell you you're wrong. But, you know, that drive, up 14-6, that's something you're going to be thinking about. That's something you're going to lay your head down on your little pillow at night and you're going to think about. This week, next week, the week after. They blew an opportunity. They stayed the status quo. They did what got them there. They didn't stray away from it. But I think in that situation, if it's me, I'm taking a shot at the end zone. I'm taking a shot at going up 21-6. And I'm not saying the game would be over there with Peyton Manning on the field. But it gives your team a little chutzpah, especially the defense. Gives them a 15-point lead going into the half, probably. Just something to think about. Now moving on. Second game. I'm going to preface this by saying the last pass that Brett Favre threw in this season was the most ridiculous pass he could have ever thrown in this game. I will. I can't defend that. There's no way anyone could defend what he did. Okay? But take this into account. Everybody who's out there saying, oh, he should have run the ball. 531 dropbacks this year. Brett Favre has run the ball 9 times for 7 yards. 9. That's 1.6% of every time he drops back to pass has he rushed this year. That's what you get out of Brett Favre. A guy that lays it all on the field, played hurt, probably the entire second half on that ankle. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about how he kept his team in the game. Nobody talks about how going into the end zone before the half, they give the fumble to him. I give it to Adrian Peterson, though. If you watch the replay and you watch the slow-mo replay, his hands, he's looking ahead and not looking at taking in the ball. And his arms come down. That pocket that Troy Aikman talked about. There was no pocket for Favre to hand him the ball in. Favre gets charged with the fumble, but Peterson is the culprit in my eyes. That's 7 points right there inside the 20. Gone. Gone. In the fourth quarter. Okay. 1st and 10. At the 27, after Percy Harvin rushes for 10 yards and a first down, he coughs it up. And the next thing you know, Reggie Bush is in the end zone inside the pylon, and the Saints have a 28-21 lead. A lead that should have been 28-21 in favor of the Vikings because of that first half, end of the first half botch up with Peterson. Who once again, as my partner, who you'll meet in a couple seconds, Joe Auriemma, always says, Peterson can't handle a ball in big games. And it was like a hot potato in his hands in the NFC title game. So let's keep going in the fourth quarter. In a game that should have been 28-28, but was 28-21 Saints, should have been 28-28. The Vikings drive down the field once again. Favre hits Bernard Berrien down the middle for an 8-yard gain. Berrien coughs it up. Coughs it up at the Saints' 18-yard line. So who knows? They could have went in again. That could have been 35-28 Saints. All right, excuse me, Vikings. Saints have the ball back after the turnover. Vikings hold them. They get the ball back. After pass interference, Adrian Peterson in for the touchdown. So at this point, realistically, it could be 42-28 Vikings. Think about that. Now, I know it all comes down to what it came down to, and that was that errant throw from Favre across his body. It's something you're taught from when you're in Pop Warner. You just don't do it. Did ego get in the way? Probably. Could Ryan Longwell have made a 55-yard field goal? Who knows? We're never going to know. But this guy had one of the best years of his career, if not the best year of his career, when he was 40. He could still play, but he could still make huge mistakes. He cost the Packers a trip in 2007 against the Giants, and now he cost the Vikings a trip this year. Two NFC championship games, two interceptions. That will probably be a huge definition in his career. And it's sad. Because he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever walk on the field. When we come back, we'll get Joe Auriemma's take on all this stuff. You're listening to a special off-the-wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. We're back right after this.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz. Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones. The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman. River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast. I am Joe Auriemma. Chris Sheeran, you couldn't have said it any better in the first segment. I mean, I did disagree with you on a couple of points, but that's what the show is all about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you mentioned the Jets first, and I couldn't agree with you more. Very conservative play calling. You're up 17-6 now. Well, it was 14-6
at
that point. It was
14-6 at the time.
Very conservative. After a first half in which they really opened my eyes, because at some point you knew Mark Sanchez was going to have to step up and play a really good game and have over 12 completions in a game to win a game.
Not only the championship game, but if you expected to go into a Super Bowl
right.
and have the quarterback not have more than 12 completions and win it, you're absolutely nuts.
And the whole thing with this game was the Colts have done everything this year in every type of situation. They've come back in so many games. So as good as the Jets' defense was, what made them think that, you know, if we're up 11 at this point, we can still hold them at 17-6 and hold Peyton Manning to, like you said, just continuing to kick field goals. I didn't like the play calling. I thought they should have given it a shot with throwing the ball in that situation instead of the run, penalty, run. And I looked at Mike Medvin, who was sitting next to me watching the game, and I said, Mike, they're going to go in and score before the half. It's going to be 17-13. And if anybody doesn't think that Peyton Manning can orchestrate a drive in 40 seconds, which it turned out to be 58 seconds, in three plays and 80 yards, they're crazy. You've never seen Peyton Manning play that.
It took him 58 seconds to go 80 yards, and he had one target the whole way down the field.
Austin Collie.
And it was Collie the whole way down. I mean, it was ridiculous to watch him pick apart the Jet, this vaunted Jet defense, which had some injuries in the secondary, by the way.
Right, but
Still, I said this with the Giants earlier on in the season, and, you know, you and I got into an argument about this, about the Giants when they were doing it, and I brought in a line from The Untouchables, the movie Sean Connery. He told his assailant, just like a you-know-what, bring a knife to a gunfight. You cannot bring field goals to a touchdown fight when you're playing Peyton Manning. He is going to pick you apart. He did it in that Week 16 game, Joe.
Yeah, he did.
The Jets took the lead, and what happened?
Just comes right down.
He went right down the field, and they scored.
That's what Peyton Manning is, and that's why I think the Colts are going to win the Super Bowl. And I've already blown my pick, but I really think they're the best team in the league. But to me, I see both sides of it. At the beginning of the season, I had a statement to you, and I said, for the Giants, the future is now, which it wasn't. And for the Jets, the future is bright. Well, the future is now for the Jets. It really is. This is a team that can win. This is a team getting Chris Jenkins back next
year.
That
offensive line isn't going to get any younger either.
Right, but still, they're...
With those major parts. I mean, Mangold is great. DeBrick is coming along.
They're still a very good team. Sean Green just proved this year that he could be a feature back. You know, Mark Sanchez, he proved anything in this game is that he's going to be a very good quarterback, and he can handle the spotlight, and he can handle big situations. But my argument on the other side of the coin is that you don't get to championship games many times. You really don't.
That was my point.
When you have an opportunity, instead of playing conservative, you got to play to gut the fish. You got to play to win. And I feel like they, of course, they were playing to win, but I feel like the Jets held back a little bit and said, let's rely on what has gotten us here. And in a game like that...
And I guarantee you, Joe, I guarantee you, Schottenheimer is going to be sitting at his kitchen table in the offseason, and he's going to be kicking himself in the hiney.
And anybody who sat there and said Peyton Manning isn't going to drive into at least a field goal.
I think everybody, you thought it, I thought, I think everybody said the Colts are going in. And it was amazing because the Jets had stopped them every other drive of the first half. Every other drive. And, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks the Jets were conservative. Braylon Edwards, who's in the damn locker room after the game, saying, you know, I have a rookie backup corner covering me and we're not throwing the ball.
So you saw what Braylon did. Look, Braylon's dropped. He can't talk at all.
I know he's dropped a ton of balls.
But hold on, but he did catch that 80-yard pass and have the touchdown. I mean, yeah. Sanchez showed me something yesterday. Threw the touchdown while having a defender in his ear.
And he was threading the needle, too.
Oh, my God, he looked great. And if you were going to throw, if you were going to take chances, yesterday was the day because the kid was on.
What have you got to lose? You're in the AFC Championship game with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Think about it. I said this last week. Jet fans had to be on above cloud 9, cloud 18, if you will. They could beat the Indianapolis Colts, the team that it all started out with the Jets winning the Super Bowl back at Super Bowl III, okay, back in 1969.
And a lot of Jet fans today are saying to themselves, hey, you know what? We're going to be back. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Your team is good.
In 41 years, how many times have the Jets been in the AFC Championship game?
Your team is very good. They're built to be very good, but anything can happen. And you look over at the Indianapolis Colts. Chris, they got Anthony Gonzalez coming back next year. So you're going to tell me they have a receiving corps of Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon, Austin Colley, mm-hmm. Anthony Gonzalez, and Dallas Clark. And this is what Peyton Manning has left in the 6 and 7 years, whatever his career is going to span. He's got those receivers. They are going to be the team to beat
in the
near future.
They used to call the Rams the greatest show on turf. It's now the Indianapolis Colts.
And that's what I'm saying for Jet fans. Well, yeah, you might get back to a championship game. But you're going to have to deal with this team again. You're going to have to deal with the Colts again, barring an injury. Because they're as good now as they were, you know, when they won the Super Bowl in 2006. And they're better than those teams that lost to the Patriots earlier in the decade.
I'm not saying the Jets had an awful game either. I'm talking about a team here that stood toe-to-toe with the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
At the end of the third quarter, it was 20-17. Okay, at the end of the half, the Jets were up 17-13. It could have been more. It could have been different if the play calling was opened up. The Jets didn't play a bad game.
Here's
they got beat I bet you Bill Polian was shaking in his shoes.
I agree.
When it was 14-6.
I think it was a complete disservice to the history
because if they lost,
of the NFL.
If they lost that game yesterday to the Jets, if they lost that championship game.
Yeah.
He's
the guy that let them in.
They let him in, and that's why I was really, really, really rooting for the Jets because I wanted that to happen. I wanted so bad for that to happen, but it doesn't. And when we come back, we will talk about another team that it won't be happening for, the Minnesota Vikings. And it's basically because of one guy, Brett Favre.
Adrian Peterson. Both.
We're back right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the two-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at YesNetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Hey, Chris, I just saw your Twitter post about asking for Jet fans to be on the podcast. I'm a Jet fan, and I just wanted to say that they ran into an all-time great who played like an all-time great in Peyton Manning. And the defense just wore down. They really have nothing to hang their heads about, and I think the Jets are going to be a force to be reckoned with next year. All right. Thanks, Chris.
All right, so you heard our first phone call. That was John.
John McLaughlin.
Yes, off of Twitter. Huge Yankee fan.
And yes.
Also a huge Jets fan, as you heard right there. And I can't really disagree with what John had to say. I mean, as a Jet fan, as the team, you really can't hang your head. You had a great season. But as Joe just said in our last segment, how many times do you get here? I mean, John, I'm sure, would agree with me. He would not disagree that they should have taken some more shots with Mark Sanchez. And I remember, Joe, being down 30-17, getting the ball back. Now, listen, the game's over at this point with 2 minutes and 22 seconds left. The Jets are not coming back.
Yes.
They're down 30-17. They get the ball back right before a 2-minute warning. And he rolls to his right and throws a screen horizontally to his left.
Yeah.
Which falls incomplete. And I'm like, you're down by 13. You got to go vertical.
Yeah, no.
You can't go horizontal.
It just was very conservative. I didn't agree with the play calling. And look, John, I completely agree with you. This is a great season. The Jets have nothing to hang their heads about. They've really played magnificently after a 9-7 season where, you know what? Those last 2 weeks, everybody could talk about that they were given a gift, but they won those games, they did what they had to do, and they won the 2 games in the playoffs to get them to the AFC Championship very convincingly. And, look, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. It's just the fact of when are they going to get here again? It's not a guarantee. You don't know what's going to happen with Mark Sanchez. It's a physical game. This guy could get hurt. Sean Green could get hurt. Anybody can get hurt on this roster and really ruin their season. I mean, the Giants were not... I'm not going to say the Giants were... This one injury did it. But the Giants' secondary was not the same after Kenny Phillips went down. Teams were just passing all over them. And I'm not saying that's the reason they were 8-8. But you know what? That was a big loss for them. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But, John, I agree with you. It's a good call. The Jets, they really have a lot to be proud of. And you mentioned Peyton's an all-time great. My God, another 375-yard game.
Yeah.
3 touchdowns. Pierre Garçon, what a game out of him. 155 yards, 11 catches. They are the team to beat. I don't
They're
care
good.
What anybody says.
Well, what are you going to do? As John said, they ran into an all-time great. And let's go to our next call.
Yeah, hey, this is Big G in Queens. As a Jet fan, obviously it would have been great if Rex Ryan's crew could have beaten the Colts. But I got to say, I'm really not that disappointed. Going into the year, I was expecting a 7-9 team. These guys pretty much didn't really make it into the playoffs fully on their own. The Colts, of course, pulled their starters. The Bengals laid down, and look what happened to Cincinnati. I guess that goes to show, you know, you should probably play all out the whole way. But bottom line, as a Jet fan, I'm not disappointed in the least. It was a nice little run. Good times.
All right, Big G, thanks for checking in. Basically echoing the point of John there.
Yeah.
And again, it's the same thing. We want to get all the calls in because we value these things and we wish more of you would.
What?
This is how easy it is, by the way. It's so easy a caveman can do it.
Oh, boy. I got to say one thing. Years and years and years I've known Jet fans. You know, we grow up around them. I myself am not a Jet fan. Like I said, I am a Giant fan. But you have to respect and appreciate the way that they're handling this loss, because for years and years and years it was the same old Jets or just end the season, you know, those acronyms that they put together so cleverly. But look, they are now realizing that this is a good team that can compete for the years to come, Chris. And you know what? They're saying this isn't the same old Jets.
No, it's not. And if that's the one thing that this season did for Jet fans, hey, you know what? That's a good thing. And you have a great head coach in Rex Ryan who's going to put it all out on the table. Obviously, this team is not going to take anything from anyone. I think they've shown that. And I think Mark Sanchez gets markedly better over the years.
I agree.
So it's all on the up and up, barring any injuries, though. And that's the big thing in the NFL. That's why we both said, you don't get here all the time. You don't always get all the breaks. And that's why we think they should have taken a couple more chances. If not a couple more, then maybe a lot more. And our last call is an old friend of mine from my college days. And it's
that's right.
Mr.
That's when he used to play in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Down near Philadelphia.
He's a big-time 76er.
And Mr. Charles Barkley joining us on the program. Chuck, take it away.
Hi, this is Charles calling, and I just wanted to say on behalf of all large, big, fat, loud, angry people, I'd like to congratulate Coach Rex Ryan on a great season. He was amazing this year. Congratulations, and I'm really upset that knucklehead. It is absolutely ridiculous that knucklehead Peyton Manning is going to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that he's one of my Facebook friends. He's actually my top five friends, Joe.
He's a top five?
Yes.
What is that called? Yeah, on the phone.
Yeah, D-Wade is not, but Chuck is. So.
Hey.
Thanks.
Who loves the NBA Sox?
Yeah. thanks, Chuck. That's very nice of you to call and give me your breakdown. Peyton Manning, though, is not a knucklehead. As you mentioned, Peyton Manning is probably one of the all-time great quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, he is. Like
and
I
if
said,
he wins a Super Bowl, I mean, he's got to be in the top five.
Top five. To me, for a guy like Joe...
High top five.
For a guy like Joe Namath and some of the older quarterbacks to come out and say he's the greatest I've ever seen. I mean, that's saying a lot. Look, I'm not saying it.
You're a Montana guy.
I'm a Montana guy. My dad's a Unitas guy. I know other people are, you know, whoever they want to be, but he definitely is top three. Top three, in my opinion.
All right. Well, we thank you for the calls, John, Big G, and
Charles
the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley, giving us a shout. So we appreciate that. Again, the number 646-487-3668. If you want to get in on the phone, or you can email us at offthewall@yesnetwork.com. We're going to wrap up this special edition of offthewall.com. Right now, we won't go to break. We're just going to touch on the Vikings and Saints. This is a special football off-the-wall championship Sunday off-the-wall here on yesnetwork.com. And we talked about the Jets ad nauseum. But Viking Saints, I broke this down in the open. You know, I'm a huge Brett Favre guy. He's a throwback to me. He's a guy that's going to get hurt. He's going to stay in the game. He's going to do everything he can do in his power to make sure his team has the best chance to win. But Brett Favre comes with a very, very awful liability, and that is he always tries to do too much. He always puts it on his shoulders. He always needs to be the guy. Now, this is all that I hear. This is all that I see in front of me. That last pass he threw, the two last passes he has thrown in NFC Championship games have led to the other team winning and going on to the Super Bowl. The Giants, who went on to beat the Patriots, and now the Saints, who are going to play the Indianapolis Colts. Joe and I talked about this briefly on Facebook last night. I love getting Joe going, so I was smiling when I did it, I typed back, "Oh, you're an idiot. Favre was awesome." And he just started going nuts. But I did agree with him that last pass there. I mean, you can get the best defense lawyer in the country, and he cannot make a case for that pass. It was rolling one way, throwing back into the middle of the field the other way. Sidney Rice, I mean, he looked as open can be, and then all of a sudden about three black jerseys came out of nowhere, and then Porter takes off with the ball.
He's like a great closer that can't win Game 7 of the World Series. That's just, I know it's a bad analogy, but my whole thing with Brett Favre is, the guy is, he defies age, he defies time, he's tough. You have to give him credit for playing, you know, 800,000 games in a row. Yesterday, it looks like he broke his ankle. He was getting hit from every which angle.
He was getting destroyed.
He was getting destroyed. He is a tough, tough guy. And, you know, you look at it, Adrian Peterson, who's got a kung fu grip, apparently, when he shakes people's hands, that's what was said in the game, can't hold on to a football to save his life. I personally, after he put the ball on the ground once, I would have put Chester Taylor in the rest of the game because I do not trust AP in those big spots. So Percy Harvin fumbles. They
had five turnovers.
They blew.
How do you expect? I mean, the fact that they had five turnovers in this game, Joe, and were as close as they were to winning, to me, on the road,
yeah,
to me, is just amazing.
To me, they are the best team that isn't in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're better than the Saints. I'm sorry. But, again,
Greg Williams did a tremendous job with his scheme, and he made
takeaways.
He made sure that if they were near Favre, they were hitting him. And they even took a penalty in hitting him. They picked him up. They planted him into the turf. That's what you need to do. If you want to win ball games, if the Saints want to beat the Colts in the Super Bowl, which we'll talk about next week, you got to get to Peyton Manning.
And here's my, I just want to go back to the Vikes real quick. All of this adds up, and they're still in the game. 2 minutes and 37 seconds left in the game, the Vikings get the ball back. They play conservatively. They run the ball to Adrian Peterson. And they let the clock tick, 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 all the way down to the two-minute warning. I don't get that. I don't get it. Call timeout. Get one more play in before the two-minute warning. Try to drive the field. I don't even know why they're handing the ball
off
at that point.
And let's not forget to lay some blame on the coaching staff
as well.
Brad
Childress was awful on that last drive.
Because they call that timeout with 19 seconds left. They're in field goal range.
Yeah.
They're in field goal range.
And then to have 12 men in the
huddle. 12 men in the huddle after a timeout? That's not the players. That's the coaching staff. So it's on them as much as it is on Favre.
You add all of this together. The turnovers, the terrible clock management.
Boneheaded like that.
Poor play calling. All of this equals disaster. And yet they were still in a position to try to win the game at the end of the game.
With five turnovers.
And you know what? Brett Favre, who had open, great play. This was a great play call. They have him run out to the right. He has open field in front of him. His guys are obviously covered. There was 20 guys around Sidney Rice, and he tried to force the ball in there. I know what you're saying with the 7 carries, the 9 yards, but literally he could have gotten 9 yards because that's how open the field was in front of him. He could have pulled it down, and he said it after the game. He said, in retrospect, I wish I had just pulled it down and run with it.
But as you say all the time, Brett Favre is Brett Favre.
Right.
You know what? I said 9 rushes. He has 7 yards and 531 dropbacks. 1.6% of the time, he has run the ball after he's dropped back to pass. That's what you get.
But that's the detriment with Brett Favre.
And exactly.
To me... That's, you win with Favre, you lose with Favre. And for Brett Favre in that situation, not to use his noodle.
Well, that's the thing.
Sometimes
he's on borrowed time. Let's be honest. He had a great season, but he's on borrowed time. This is the thing he has to be thinking of. Without Brett Favre on this team, they're not in the NFC Championship game. They're not. I'm sorry. Tavares Jackson, if you're listening, which I highly doubt, you're not there. I'm sorry. Brett Favre brought them to the NFC title game. He had a great game against the Cowboys. That 49er game, that pass he threw, some of the passes he threw in the Saints game, in this championship game. The one I remember vividly is the one right down the middle to Sidney Rice
and
on that last
drive. They stepped right in front of it, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, was that pass just like right on the money. And you're talking about a guy who's 40 years old throwing that thing.
Yeah.
But the thing, I mean, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I see him rolling right. And, like, you could feel it. You could sense it. You're like, just don't throw it back. Don't throw it in the middle of the field. Don't.
You said it before. Pop Warner 101.
You saw basketball, right?
Yeah.
When he's in the room. That's what my living room was filled up with.
Pop Warner 101. You don't throw across your body. You don't throw into the middle of the field. And he did it. And you know what? His last throw as a Packer will always be remembered as the ball that Corey Webster got to lead to the Giants winning that game. And his last throw as a Viking, I don't know if he's coming back, will be forever known as the ball that he threw across his body and into the middle of the field. And that's...
Let's put it this way. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but he also has some of the greatest gaffes that a great quarterback could have.
Yeah.
In postseason history.
The whole team, to me, is the GOAT. It's not, you can't just
You
play.
Can't lay the whole game on that interception with Favre. You can't, because things happened before then, especially, listen, if they don't get that 5-yard penalty there, if they don't have the 12 men in the huddle, and they just, who knows, they just run the ball up the middle again.
Which they were probably going to do
to keep the clock going to call their last timeout with 3 seconds to set them up. That's on the coaching staff.
I agree.
And you know, that's on Brad Childress. And that is like so inexcusable and unforgivable to have a timeout called, and then after that timeout, you have 12 men on the field. What are you thinking?
I'm just going to end my Brett Favre talk with this. Our good friend Ryan Rutherford said it best. Rachel Nichols, you heard her screaming down the hall because now she knows she has to spend the next 7 months of her life in Mississippi.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to end my Brett Favre talk.
That's a good way to end it. Good job out of you. And that's going to be the end of the Off the Wall podcast, the special edition. Thank you once again for the calls, John, Big G, and Chuck. We appreciate you chiming in, especially Chuck. That was a very nice surprise, going back to my college days and talking to Chuck when I had my college radio show. It was very good to hear your voice. I hope everything is going well for TNT, and I hope the gambling is doing well, too. For Joe Auriemma, I am Chris Sheeran. This is our Off the Wall podcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little football flavor for you, and when we come back next week, we'll talk about the Super Bowl between the Saints and Colts, and we'll also talk about two position players in baseball that will be heading down south like birds during the winter. Yes, pitchers and catchers is right around the corner as well. And then Joe and I, along with Kevin Sullivan, will be down in Tampa from March 2nd through the 12th to bring you all of your Yankee spring training coverage for YesNetwork.com. So you don't want to miss that as well. So it's going to be football, it's going to be baseball, and maybe a little bit of basketball. Those Knicks. One more thing before we leave. The Nets had a 4-game road trip through the West. They lost all four by a total of exactly 100 points. Their last two, they lost by 32 and 33, respectively. The 33-point loss to Utah was their worst of the season. So 65 points, their last two games, they lost by 65 points. The Knicks must think it's a competition because against the Mavericks, they lost by 50. The worst home loss ever at the Garden. Just when you think this team is going to start turning things around and almost beat the Lakers, they lose by 50. I can't figure them out, and I can't figure the Rangers out. It must be the water at MSG. That's all the time we have. We'll see you next time. When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. 'Cause with the
the 9 to 5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself. Groove, let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all.
You live it off the wall.
Life ain't so